Praise you, Lord. We're going to turn to Proverbs 4 just a little bit. Thinking about that message of hope. If you've ever been in that situation where you've lost hope, it's one of the most difficult places to be. I would think, having been there, another word for hopelessness is called depression. And it's not God's will that any of us live there. And you can come out, praise God. For some people, it seems like even when they get out a little bit, they keep falling back in. And usually that comes down to what we're going to talk about this morning in the area of our hearts. Because if there are, well, our hearts are programmed, is really what it comes down to. And if the wrong programs are in there, you will keep coming back to hopelessness unless you change something on the inside. So we're going to start at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. And if you've been here very long, you probably have snuck a few verses underlined. It's the attitude that we're supposed to have towards the Word of God. Solomon wrote, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh." Praise God. Praise God. So when it says the word we should learn from our earthly father, certainly, but most importantly to learn from our heavenly father, by his word. Sometimes people will say, "Well, I wish God would really speak to me," because they'll hear a minister say, "Well, God spoke to me and said so and so." And God does speak to us in other ways besides the Bible, but he's always speaking to us through his word, the Bible, when we're spending time in it. Now, the thought goes on in verse 23 to say, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your heart, springs the sources," or "out of it spring the life." I left a word out here. So, issues, okay. Out of it flow the issues of life. There's a couple of words I want us to be aware of there. Keep your heart with all diligence. Diligence, it's interesting. I was looking that up in Strong's. Means a place of confinement or observation. Keep your heart. Keep yourself in a place where you can see what's happening from your heart. Pay attention to what's happening from your heart. And I think a lot of times we didn't, because we didn't realize how much was coming from our heart. But the more we realize, the better it's going to be. For out of it spring the issues or sources, or also means borders of life. And we've studied in some of our Thursday night in the books that we've gone through that your heart will set borders, and it will say, "This is as far as you're going to go in that area." I've talked to you before about the law of the lid, where you keep hitting against that lid and you want to go farther. There's a part of you that wants to go farther, but you don't make it any farther because in your heart you've been programmed to set a limit. And when people hit that limit, that's as far as they go. New Living Translation says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." The course of your life. The Young's Literal Translation, "For out of it are the outgoings of life." New English Translation, "From it are the sources of life." Our life is directed by what's in our heart. And you might say, "Well, I'm just not going to let that happen." Well, even outside of Christendom, scientifically, they're saying that by the time that a child is 7, they've already been programmed in certain ways that we didn't plan. Parents, as parents, we have a big part in that. Amen? Amen? Since none of us were perfect parents and none of our parents were perfect parents, there's always going to be something in there that gets programmed in that we really didn't want. Praise God for all the good things that got programmed in there too. Amen. Probably more than we think. So what does this verse mean? Guard your heart above all else, the New Living Translation says, for it determines the course of your life, the borders of your life, the direction of your life, the sources of your life. I think what I want us to focus, there's a couple of words I want us to focus on. Think of it this way. The course that we're setting for our life is not based upon all the education and information that we've received on purpose or accidentally up to this point. That's not setting the course of our life. The course of our life is set by what's in our heart. You can know a lot of things that aren't really directing your life. In fact, you know, Paul said, have you ever read Romans chapter 7? Said, the very things that I want to do, I end up not doing. And the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing those. Paul said that, the Apostle Paul. How many have run into that same kind of situation? What is that all about? It's a heart thing.
Amen.
What am I doing this for? Why am I still having problems with that? Why haven't I moved on past that? Why do I keep falling into this same rut? It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. We were taught in school that we have this inner mechanism called DNA that is what it is, and it'll never change. And that's kind of a hopeless situation in itself if you believe that. But we're learning now, and even scientifically we're learning now, that DNA can be changed. It's like switches that can be switched. And this is what we're learning to do, switch those switches in our heart so we don't end up hopeless all our life, so we don't end up depressed all our life, so we don't end up sick all our life, so we don't end up losing jobs and getting fired and can't get promoted and all those other things that go along with having heart problems. There's more to heart problems than just this ticker in here not working quite right. In fact, even that probably comes back to a heart problem. And by heart, we don't mean just this ticker in here, this thing that pumps the blood. Thank God for that, because, you know, you lose that and things go downhill pretty quick. But there is we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body, and the combination of the soul and spirit together seems to be the heart. Mind, will, and emotions, Spirit of God, living on the inside of us. And if we learn to reprogram that, our life will have to get better. We've been doing a lot of studies in this, in the books by Dr. Jim Richards, and here's what he said. Programming our heart happens many ways, but regardless of the process, the two factors always present are information plus emotion. Everybody say information. Plus emotion. So what happens is when we hear something, when our senses pick something up, and information has come in, and it causes, and there's some kind of an emotion that rises up, those are the things that end up getting programmed on the inside of us. You can see then, if you think about it that way, how all this programming happened by the time we were 7, because things were happening, and we were picking up all kinds of information, and some of it affected us in some powerful ways. And then so sometimes you have a person who's in counseling for the rest of their life trying to deal with those things that happen on the inside. But, you know, counseling maybe helps, but counseling isn't going to change your heart. The same thing that programmed it to start with is going to have to reprogram it. Information plus emotion. Amen? Somehow I look back at my own life, and I've never been the kind of person who jump out there and try something new. I like to sit back and kind of watch it for a while and see whether I really want to do that or not. You know, take my time. I never we lived beside my great uncle's lake, Shadyside Lake, great place for swimming, and there was a dock that was built, and you could run out that dock and jump in. But I came up to the edge and stuck my toe in. And then two toes, and you know. And they try to tell me it's harder that way, which is probably true, but that was me. That's the way I did it. Guess I needed reprogramming. But when it came to one thing, when it came to driving, because my dad was an over-the-road trucker, and I grew up on a farm, and there was farm equipment, there were tractors to drive and things like that, and there, right from the beginning, you know, especially if it had a steering wheel and some pedals to push, and before I could even reach the pedals, my dad would let me drive, and that was something I could always launch it. There was something happened in my heart. I guess the emotion of seeing my dad drive the truck and so on, just, I can do this, and moved in that direction. And I was going in that direction when God said, yeah, but have something else for you to do. Maybe some of you have experienced some of those same kind of things. We were listening to a tape years ago, Diane and I, a series by these ladies, and the lady was talking about, I believe it was her grandson, she picked up from school, bring him home one day, and he got in the back seat, and he was very quiet, and she knew something was wrong. And she, when they got home, she began to talk to him about it, and he was kind of covering up his hands, you know, like something was wrong. And she discovered that they had done some finger painting or something, and he had inadvertently painted on the wrong thing, or got somebody else's paint, or did something wrong, and was reprimanded for it, and it really hit him emotionally. Very sensitive kid, like a lot of us are. And the fact that what she was bringing out in this tape series was she gave him a chance to talk about it then, just when it happened. And because he had talked about it and got it talked out, it didn't become a program. But that was something as simple as that could become a lifelong program in a person's heart that they have to deal with along the way in ways that they don't even understand. You know, I think I was saying a few weeks ago, we read about a guy that it was just, he'd see the color yellow, and he'd begin to get depressed and think, I can't, instead of I can. Something had happened somewhere along the way with the color yellow. It doesn't have to be a real grandiose thing, but it can be changed, praise God. I've ministered here. I taught some messages on finding God's will for our life. And one of the books we were suggesting was written by Sherman Owens in Florida, a friend of ours. And he wrote a book called Finding Your Yes, which really is based upon a lot of the same thing, is that you find out what makes you angry, what makes you excited. And that's, they're probably in there somewhere, is the direction that God is leading you to, but you have to watch in the midst of all that, because sometimes it's not. Sometimes there's program in there that needs to be dealt with. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 5. Praise you, Lord. Verse 35, 36. In the middle of this story, Jesus was on his way to minister to Jairus' daughter, who he's going to go raise from the dead. And then along the way, he met the woman with the issue of blood and got her healed, straightened out. And then they're on their way to Jairus' house. And in verse 35, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Now, I was reading that and studying out one time in the book, in the Amplified version, and here's the way verse 36 reads. Overhearing but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be seized with alarm, and have no fear, only keep on believing." Another translation says, "Stop fearing, only be believing." One of the things that we're learning is when something happens that has an emotional effect on us and it's the wrong direction, it needs to be, if you can deal with it right then, amen. If you can get on it right then, you can get that thing straightened out before it becomes a program in the wrong direction. But it really, what stuck out with me, the Amplified Version, overhearing but ignoring what they said. Because I think sometimes we're going to have to learn to, we want to make sure we're listening to the right things, but we also want to start learning how to ignore the wrong things. If you, you know, people will say, well, I was listening to the news and it really bothered me. And then I listened again, and it really bothered me. And I listened again, and it really bothered me. Boy, that news is really bothering me. Maybe there's a hint in there somewhere that you maybe had better listen to something else. Because if that's what it, the effect that it's having on you, it's, there's a programming happening there. And then you begin to feel really fearful about what's happening with the country. And certainly there are things happening with the country that we wish weren't, but we can't afford to be fearful about it. Be seized with alarm, because God's going to take care of us, whatever the president does or anybody else does. He will take care of us. He got us this far, he'll get us all the way through. And when that kind of thing is raising up, you know, you got to, sometimes you got to learn to ignore. In fact, the whole political thing that's going on right now, and when it, especially how Christians are affected by it, there's a lot of conservative radio programs and those kind of things with a lot of things that probably are truthful and so on in whatever direction. I'm not going to try to steer your direction when it comes to that. But the, I hear and I see a lot of anger and a lot of fear when it comes to these kind of things. And if you are listening even to something that there's a lot of truth in it, but it just that makes you angry, maybe you should stop listening. And certainly if it makes you afraid, certainly you should stop listening. Because God does not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. So it can't be tying into him. You say, but it makes you mad. It makes you angry. It makes you afraid. So that needs to be ignored. And the good ignorer there is you just turn it off or you turn it to a different station. Something like, I noticed already that there were at least two or three different stations that are playing Christmas music already. Which, you know, some of that's good. But I'll tell you this. I'll warn you, in case you don't know this ahead of time, my wife does not want to see the wise men at the nativity scene, because they weren't there. So if you put that in front of her, she's going to be angry. Something has been programmed in my wife when it comes to this. Now we've heard it taught, and she's taught on it. Maybe she will again. They did come, but they weren't at the Bethlehem at the birth of Jesus. Okay. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12. I want to read this to you out of the Amplified. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active and operative and energizing and effective. That's that word that you have on your lap. But most especially what you got in your heart. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow, that is the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. That's the part that I like all this verse, and I like it especially in the Amplified, but exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. I've studied this out a little bit, and thoughts and purposes have something to do with what's inside working up and what's outside coming in. And the Word of God will show you the difference. So the Word of God will, for one thing, it'll show you what's in your heart. It'll expose what's in there. You know, people say, I just don't understand. Why do I have to read it every day? And I'm reading it and I'm not getting anything out of it. But you get it in there, and then you have this thing that's exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the thoughts and purposes of your heart. And if you don't have it in there, you don't have that working for you. What a wonderful thing God's given us to make that available to us. Let me try to come from a different direction. Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, said many times, and I've read it and heard it in his tape since then, the scripture that really works for us is the scripture we're excited about. Sometimes you have to stir up that excitement. Sometimes it just comes. I mean, if it just had it come, you're just reading or thinking about a scripture and just really get excited. Praise God for those times. Wish there were more of those times, praise God. But sometimes you just got to stir yourself up. Stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you. And be excited about it, because information plus emotion is going to program your heart. And when you get excited about it. Another minister said it this way. He said he noticed this when people will come to him and say, I'm really having a problem with this. This sickness just won't go away. This just can't seem to get a promotion at work, whatever it happens to be. And he'll say, well, here's what the Word says, and quote a scripture to him. If they don't immediately brighten up a little bit, say, all right, then probably praying for them isn't going to do much good. Because it's what's happening in the heart. And when you come with somebody and say, I don't know how we're going to pay all these bills. And they say, well, praise God. Our God has said he'll supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you're thinking, yeah, read that before. Well, then it doesn't work for you. But it's powerful. And it's active and alive and operative and energizing and effective. If you start thinking about that. You know what meditating on that verse would be? One word at a time. My God. My God. My God shall supply all my needs. And not just barely, but according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Gets more exciting just thinking about it like that, doesn't it? Praise God. Psalm 23. Praise you, Lord. I want to look at the first three verses here. Psalm 23, 23rd Psalm. Probably know it. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack anything, praise God. What I really wanted to see, then pull it out for time's sake here, is verse 3, he restores. He restores my soul. Strong says restores means to turn back, to return. I think about that, and it seems like God is saying, here, I'm going to give this back to you. This is your soul. Let's think about it, particularly the part of your soul. Here's your heart. It's been programmed wrong. But I'll help you program it right and give it back to you again. Praise God. When it's programmed right, you won't keep falling in the same places. You won't get in the same ruts over and over again. You won't keep getting depressed. You won't keep messing things up. You won't keep trying to do the right thing and end up doing the wrong thing, because I'm going to help you. Thank God he's not just saying, get this straightened out. He's saying, but I'm going to help you. He's in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. The Holy Spirit isn't supposed to be just along for the ride. He's the helper, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby. Praise God. The Old Testament calls him our rear guard. Nobody can sneak up on us even, praise God. And we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Jesus said, I know you're sad because I'm going, but I'm going to send you back someone just like me. And I've been beside you, but he's going to be in you. Praise God. And not only that, but we have the Holy Spirit in us, but we have the Holy Spirit upon us to give us the power to live a life that's a witness of a resurrected Christ, a living God that we sang about this morning. Whew, praise God. He restores my soul. New Testament example of that is 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. You all might know, but Doreen didn't write that. She just makes very good use of it, huh? Praise God. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Just as your soul prospers. Or, because that's what we're focusing this morning, just as your heart prospers. Thayer says for the word prospers, to lead by a direct and easy way. As your soul prospers. To lead by a direct and easy way. Yeah, you could read that and think about that and say, it sure hasn't been that way so far. Life is hard. There was a saying going around years ago, life is tough and then you die. Exciting. But you know, even for us to die is gain, Paul said, praise God. We don't have any reason to fear death, but we shouldn't be fearing life either. We should enjoy life, praise God. Jesus said he came to give his life and give it more abundantly. Praise God. And if it's not that way, well, then we might need some hard work. Because there are people who really are enjoying life. Aren't there? And if anybody is, then it's God's will for all of us because he's no respecter of persons. He doesn't. Well, you can have a real happy life, but you're really going to have to struggle. Some of the things that have been taught about God, I wouldn't serve that God. Some people are just going to have it rough. Some people, he might have to take their kids early. Some people are just going to be poor all the time. No. No respect for persons. Loves us all. See, that's one of those things that have to change. When you've been trained up that way, when you're reprogrammed that way, Diane and I can relate to this because our early programming was basically a good God, but he had these faults. He had these things about he might want you to be sick. He might want you to be poor. He might want you to struggle because even the teaching was, well, you're tough. You can handle more of this bad stuff, so I'm going to let more come your way. No. But that's the way we were programmed. And when we begin to be deprogrammed, it was painful for a while because that was the way the heart was, but it needed to change. Really, that's really what repentance is to a certain extent, is that this heart is wrong. I'm thinking out of my heart, and I'm thinking wrong, and I've got to change that. And what we're saying here is God will help you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16. Second Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Don't lose it. Even though our outward man is perishing, the hair gets gray and everything doesn't work quite as good as it used to. But it's not so bad because God continues to give us strength. Amen? Getting old is not that bad. Praise God. Now, I got a friend who looks at it this way. The Bible in some place talks about 120 years. So youth would be, if you break it down into threes, youth would be birth to 40. And then middle age would be 41 to 80. And then you're getting older when you get off past 80. So, most of us are just cruising right along, praise God. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Renewed, to make new, to cause to grow up, to renovate. Praise God. The inward man. And this is the way the word says it, but that doesn't just happen just because we're children of God. That happens because we're allowing the Word of God and the Spirit of God to work on the inside of us. Amen. And we are repenting on a regular basis. Not feeling bad because of the way things are, but changing our mind. Right. Changing our mind. That's all repentance is. I'm not going to think this way anymore. I put off those thoughts, and I put on these thoughts. And with the help of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, there's a renewing that begins to happen. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How can you look at the things that are not seen? Well, you don't see them with the natural eye, but you see them with the eye of your spirit. You see them with the eye of faith. You see them by the Word of God. You see all your needs being met according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see life getting better. You see yourself doing what you couldn't do before. You see relationships coming together, and you see things falling off that need to fall off, things coming on that need to come on. Praise God. And when you begin to see that, and anything that's going on, it's just a light affliction. I can certainly push on through this. We're going to go through. We're going to go over the top. We're going to go under. We're going to go around, but we're going to get to the other side. Jesus never said, go halfway across, you're going to drown there. We're going to get to the other side. Amen. One more scripture, Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 20. You're a good congregation. You're really drawing the Word of God this morning. I can feel you taking it in. Ephesians 4:20. Before that, the verse before that are a downward spiral of walking away from God instead of walking closer. But verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is where? In Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Everything that you used to be, when that shows up, you put it off. That's not who I am anymore. I'm not that old man anymore. I'm not that person I was before I was born again. I'm born again. I'm reborn. That person died in Christ, and I'm somebody else now, so I put that off. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Amen. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness, things as they ought to be, and holiness. Listen, I was looking in vines, where it says, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Here's what vine says. The renewal here mentioned is not that of the mind itself and its natural powers of memory, judgment, and perception, but the spirit of the mind, which under the controlling power of the indwelling Holy Spirit directs its bent and energies Godward in enjoyment of fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, and of the fulfillment of the Word of God. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Not just changing the mind, but changing the way that we think. Hear what I'm saying? Not just changing your mind, but changing the way that we think. And we need that. Because the way that we think is based upon the programs of the heart. And that area that hopefully you've thought about this morning, where I just keep going back to that again. I don't want to go there, but I keep going there, is the area that needs to change and can Because you have God, and you have the Word of God, and you're not who you used to be. And you can put off all the stuff that is the way that you used to be, and you can be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You can think a different way. You can have a different pattern of thinking. You can have you can actually have a negative person become a positive person. You can switch the DNA and be somebody else that you didn't used to be. You are somebody else that you didn't used to be. Might as well change. Let the Holy Spirit work in you. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. That things can change. That life can be better. That healing can happen. That we can get promoted. That we can get the things in life that you made available to us in your promises. Not because we're about things, but we're about you. We're about the one who created us, who lives on the inside of us. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for that power, the power of your Holy Spirit, the power of your word working in us today. And we allow him to work and have full sway. Let your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.